powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Jake and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Ross.
Welcome into Jake and Stacy. This is Jake Heaps here leading the show. Stacy Ross is out. We got Curtis Rogers here next to me. We got Mike Lefko behind the glass producing the show. Man, we had some big time news break in. The Mariners.
Just a little bit.
The Mariners signing AL Cy Young Award winner Robbie Ray to a 5-year, $115 million deal. An incredible move for the Mariners. Our own Curtis Rogers. Go to my Twitter at JTHeaps9 to see Curtis Rogers' face. The moment he saw on his screen that Robbie Ray was signing here to Seattle, it is priceless. But here to break down the move by the Mariners and to tell us what Robbie Ray is going to bring here to Seattle, we brought our buddy Ryan Roland Smith on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Ryan, how you feeling, man?
Just like Curtis, man, great news. I was getting a little worried. It's going to be, nothing against Fraser. I like that move too. Don't get me wrong, but and it's not this thing where you have to have this big splashy name, whatever, anything like that. But you just don't want to see these kind of marginal, hope they work out kind of moves. You want to see something like this, especially a long term deal. And you start to see these players going left, right, and center before this lockout, that's about to happen here in a day. And next thing you know, the Mariners have got the guy who was the best pitcher in the American League last year. It's a fantastic move. I'm stoked.
Ryan, when you look at who Robbie Ray is as the pitcher, the kind of pitcher profile he has, what makes him so effective in generating strikeouts?
Well, I think, first of all, Robbie Ray, you go back, he was drafted by the Nationals, and I've heard him talk about this quite a bit. And I was trying to, I heard that you guys wanted to talk to me about 20 minutes ago, so I was texting a few people who know Robbie Ray pretty well. I didn't quite get the information that I need to get to your guys' level right now on the show. But basically, just from doing a little bit of a dig in the last couple of months and just watching what had been the difference with him. First of all, he has been through some adversity, has been through some struggles. I love that, because now he's a guy that it's not like all of a sudden he was just dominating every single year and here he is. He's been through some stuff and he's figured out what works for him. One of the things too, when you watch Robbie Ray pitch, you see that spike in velocity. He made some mechanical adjustments that he had to go all the way back to when he was first drafted. He's with the D-backs and the D-backs were tinkering mechanically with him. And he was going back and forth. But all of a sudden this year, he's like, you know what? I'm going back to what feels comfortable. And one of those things was staying, over the rubber, having a bigger base on the lower half. And I think when you grab something like that and it just feels right and it feels like you, man, all of a sudden you just roll. And we saw that. He pitched in Seattle during the year in that tight uni, those pants. I love it. Couldn't pull it off myself, but he was so fun to watch. He was just so in control. You knew he was going to go deep in the game. He has multiple weapons, one of the lowest batting average of balls in play, as well as the strikeout numbers. There's just a complete package here, and he's still 29 years old. So I love the move and what we're going to get from Robbie Ray.
Ryan, I love the fact that you point to the fact that he has been through a lot of adversity and how that actually can be a positive, because I know some people are going to look at the stats and they're going to look at it and say, look, you're paying a big money to a guy who just had a breakout performance. Is that really who he is moving forward? And how can that be a case that you could make that he is going to be this guy over the next 3 to 5 years of his career here with the Mariners?
Yeah, that's a really good question. Look, it's one of these things, he's only had one good year. But when you kind of dig into, first of all, Nationals, then he's with the Tigers, he came up, and then he went to the Arizona Diamondbacks, and he showed flashes. And they talked about how so high on Robbie Ray because of things he could do. But there's always that situation where it wasn't so much injuries. Look, he's had a couple. He's had a back spasm, an oblique, nothing crazy. But when you watch a guy, and I watched him because he's a left-handed pitcher and I love watching pitching. I love it to see guys have success. When you all of a sudden see some of the adjustments that he made or went back to, it just looked like him. And when I say having the adversity, it's not a situation, like I said, where if he comes in, this is his first chance of being a guy in a rotation, the frontline dude, 5-year deal, everything else. So when you have these moments in your career, and Jack, I'm sure you've had plenty of them, and so have I, when you've had these moments where you've struggled, and now all of a sudden in 2021, you know what those little mechanical cues or those mental cues to go back to what you know feels right and what you're able to do. That's the best. It's not something where you're wondering or you're trying to figure it out or you haven't had any of that adversity and you come in as a 29-year-old into a team where there's so many big expectations and then you just get lost. And you've seen that plenty of times as well. So I just think the fact that he's been through that and look, as far as, having one good year or whatever, you go back, man, there's been flashes of brilliance too. There's been some streaks there where he's been really good. And this year, man, it just every time he went out, he just got better and better as the year went on. And then on top of that, the ad and the velocity, everything he talked about, the preparation he did in between starts, all these little things, man, that rub off so well on some of the younger players coming up as well.
Ryan, when you look at the Mariners' top four right now in their rotation, Robbie Ray, Marco Gonzalez, Chris Flexen, Logan Gilbert, where do they rank among the rotations in the American League West?
As far as the American League West, definitely up there. You know, the Houston Astros, not only do they have, obviously they've just been to a World Series, but yes, they're going to have solid, they're going to be solid overall. We all know that. And they've got guys in their system that come up that are going to be solid as well when you're talking about rotation. I still think that they rank better than the Angels, even with Noah Syndergaard. And that's the situation. Look, if let's say the Mariners were signing off on a $20-something million dollars with Noah Syndergaard, I wouldn't feel too good about it because of the track record and everything else. It wouldn't quite make sense. But I think when you look at the rotation as far as the things that really, really matter, the things that set your bullpen up, innings eaters, guys who get deep into games, that's going to be crucial with this bullpen. They leaned so heavily on that bullpen last year, and I still feel like they got moves to make. But innings and consistency, man, when you have a Chris Flexen and you're looking at him as potentially being a number three or number four behind Robbie Ray and Marco Gonzalez, two guys who get deep, man, it just takes such strain and pressure off that bullpen, having to make those guys expendable, having to lean on someone come up from AAA to fill a gap or someone hitting the IL or whatever it may be. And you know they're still going to add to that bullpen. I just think that it's just such a good recipe. And depending on what they do offensively, I still think they need to lengthen that lineup out. But everything that, basing on 2021, the depth, when you're talking getting deep in the games, and having that consistency is huge.
Ryan, that is my next question in terms of where the Mariners go from here. Obviously, everyone focuses on addressing the lineup, and rightfully so. And as you just mentioned, you hope that they do so with some serious impact bats. But the next question is, are the Mariners done seriously addressing their starting rotation? Is this their move that they make and let the other final starting rotation go to somebody like a James Paxton, or leave it open so that they can give somebody like George Kirby or one of the younger guys an opportunity there with that rotation?
I think if they're gonna be competitive in 2022, you have to fill that out and say, this is our five guys, as opposed to saying, all right, we're gonna have four and see who the last spot, who it's up to. You still have to bring someone in. And I think you mentioned, James Paxton, I don't think he's going to be healthy right away to be ready to roll. But I think there is enough out there regarding starting pitching. I mean, that you can get on a one-year deal to fill up that last spot and that make those younger guys earn it. When you're talking about, Kirby and talking about some of these younger pitchers coming out of AA and AAA or what have you, they have to earn it. They have to break in the right way. You don't ever, when you're a competing team, like the Mariners are hoping that they're going to be in 2022, you just hand them a job. It just doesn't, just never works out. They have to be able to earn that. And you see all these really good teams, you see these young players come up because they've dealt, dominated, and they've forced their way into the rotation. I still think the Mariners need to finalize that rotation, get someone else who's rock solid in that fifth spot. They do need to get offense. They're definitely not done. I'm hoping. It's crazy. This lockout date tomorrow has just created a whole frenzy. It's going to make things interesting. Definitely have to fill that lineup up, lengthen that thing. And they also have to, you still have to add in the bullpen, strengthen your strengths. I see, you know, someone like a Kirby Yates, who was with the Padres, who just had Tommy John. He's coming off Tommy John. He was on my podcast and just talking to some of the adjustments he's made. He's cheap. It's not going to cost you a bunch of years. And he is a proven all-star closer, a guy who can fill up that bullpen. So I want to see two more big names in the bullpen. That's super important. Get another starting pitcher that's someone who's a year, like, you know, you give them a year or something like that. But I still feel like they have to do some big things with that lineup also, just along with Robbie Ray, same kind of thing.
So, Ryan, do you see more of the Mariners going with like a one-year deal type of starting pitcher here to round this out? Or do you think somebody like a Marcus Stroman, who they were linked to early on in this process, could still be on the table for them?
Yeah, I see it more of being a situation, and this is, there's a couple of reasons for this. Number one, you do have some guys you don't want to have a roadblock for it down in AA and AAA. Some of the prospects you mentioned, you know, Kirby, for example. So I see it more of being as far as starting pitching is concerned, I see it more of a one-year type thing. And I think that if you're going to go, and that's the other big thing too. You know, just Semien, it's all about years. That all these guys, they want years, as well as obviously they're making a lot of money, but it's not so much the annual what they're making. It's more about the years for some of these guys. I see them as far as pitching goes. I see a 1 year deal. Don't create a roadblock where you round out that rotation with some of these young guys who are going to be really impactful, even in a couple months into the season. And you really focus on putting the extended contracts into something offensively. And also to add, you know, look, even, I know everyone's agreeing with this, and it's a no-brainer for a lot of people, but even bringing in Nelson Cruz, bringing some clubhouse presence for a 1 year deal to add some thump in that lineup, or something. You have to generate some pop in the middle of that lineup, lengthen that thing out. And then just, I would stick with a 1 year in the rotation.
Ryan, obviously the big news of the day is the Mariners signing of Robbie Ray, or at least the agreement to a signing with Robbie Ray, which will get finalized over the next couple of days. But over the weekend, they made another big move in acquiring second baseman Adam Frazier from the San Diego Padres. When you look at that move, where do you think the Mariners will go next offensively, and what do you think Frazier brings to the table?
Well, I think, you know, with Frazier, it's not this, you know, big thump in the middle of the lineup. But, man, again, you just see that on base. A guy who can get on base, as boring or as, you know, we're sick of hearing the term versatility. But, again, it pays dividends, man, when all of a sudden you're having this roster turnover, or you're having so-and-so hit the COVID IL or whatever it may be. Having that is massive. And the fact they didn't really have to give up really anything to get someone like Adam Frazier at the top of that lineup, or even essentially down the bottom too. Frazier's a guy who can, depending on where they go free agency-wise, that 7-8-9 was a black hole for the Mariners in the lineup, 7-8-9. Man, if you can throw in some doubles, throw in some on base down the bottom of that lineup when you flick that thing over, it just makes so much sense. So I can see that Adam Frazier being on either end of the lineup, even down the bottom as well, gives you that versatility. But again, I still feel like even with that move, not giving up a whole lot, you can still go out and make a massive impact, getting someone who can be in the middle of the lineup, a big impact as well, besides the Frazier move.
That is something that we surely would all love to see, and see the Mariners stay aggressive. Ryan, thanks for joining us, man, to break this down. This is always a great time having you on.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. It's been a while, so it's good to get back on the airwaves.
Yes,
same to
is.
You, Ryan.
All right, have a good one. Sure. Thank you. That was Ryan Roland Smith on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Let's get to Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass.
This is Four Down Territory, brought to you by Genuine Auto Glass. Going inside the game with quarterback guru Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps played in the NFL, played quarterback, was in the room with him, was in the fire. He's really a guru. He really played the game.
Is there any more news that needs to break?
I don't know, but right now I need a second to collect my thoughts, because that was the worst throw to a segment I have ever heard. So, my goodness,
duck.
My apologies. I got to make up for that.
That one got picked up. He may just already be punting here.
That's right.
He ran
territory.
Out of downs.
Yeah.
Just got intercepted.
First down, Jake. Pretty much every sign pointing to Kalen DeBoer being the next head coach of the Washington Huskies. Is he the best they can do at that position?
Well, clearly the answer is yes. Now, with Kalen DeBoer, the next question is it a good hire? And I believe that it is a good hire. It is a step in the right direction for the Washington Huskies. I can't say definitively that this is the hire that they absolutely should have made. I would have loved to have seen them be able to draw somebody like Matt Campbell. I would have loved for them to be able to bring in somebody like Dave Aranda, who not only schematically is really dynamic and good, but also that brings enough juice and excitement immediately off of the announcement that instantly boosts your recruiting. Kalen DeBoer does not do that, so they're going to have to hit the ground running in terms of the recruiting trail. But in terms of the schematics, I love Kalen DeBoer, what he can do for this Washington offense. And you just look at everywhere that he has been, he has found success, whether that's the NAIA level, the lower levels of the FBS, being an offensive coordinator for a Big 12 team in Indiana that had a major run of success while he was there as the offensive coordinator. And then you look at him and the job that he's done at Fresno State. I mean, he's just a guy who's been extremely successful. Now, we'll see if he can do that at the Pac-12 level. We'll see if he can do that at the University of Washington. But I do believe that this is a good signing for Washington out of, you know, you stop thinking about the Matt Campbells. You stop thinking about the Dave Arandas. That next group, that next crop, I really, really like Kalen DeBoer and what he can do. And hopefully that run of success that he has had continues for him at Washington.
Here's DeBoer last night on a Fresno news station talking about being linked to other jobs.
You know, it's not going to be the first, not going to be the last time when you have a team like ours that, you know, shows the progress we've made and has the wins that we have. I mean, it's just going to be part of being here at Fresno State because of the pride and tradition. A lot of coaches have come through here, or the coaches that have come through here, not a lot of them, but the ones that have come through here have all had success. And those opportunities have and have not presented themselves. And, you know, you just what you hear isn't always what's really happening. You always got to remember that. But you certainly know that this would be the first and probably be the last, because I know we'll always win here and keep it rolling.
That sounds like classic coach speak.
Yes, it is. And this is what drives me nuts. Just say no comment. Just don't walk down that road. Oh, well, I mean, you just never know. I mean, you can't always, you know, believe the rumors. Just don't walk down that road. It's not worth it. Don't say that stuff. So when you talk about leaving the right way or the wrong way, there's no necessarily right way, but there's definitely a wrong way. And I'm not saying Kalen DeBoer is, you know, what he just said there is the absolute wrong way, and, you know, everybody should be extremely mad at him at Fresno State. But I just think it's an instant reaction that head coaches have, trying to get by in the moment rather than just, you know, worst case scenario, just be truthful and honest.
Second down. Jake, which matchup are you looking for the Seahawks to exploit offensively against Washington?
What I am looking for the Seattle Seahawks offense to do and do well is to dominate man-to-man coverage. Get your playmakers the ball. DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett. Now, Washington under Jack Del Rio, last year they played a lot of two-high coverage trying to stop the explosive nature of the Seahawks offense. I believe that Jack Del Rio will probably do something similar again heading into this matchup, but they will play man-to-man, and they do it often, especially in critical situations. So, when Russell Wilson sees that, when this offense gets those opportunities, Russell Wilson, I don't care if it's a run play, I don't care what's called, you check to a man-to-man winner, get your guys the ball, and that is where you can get your big explosive plays. Catch them in those winning matchups. That is what I hope the Seahawks offense can exploit.
Third down. Jake, whose role do you think expands tonight with the running back group looking a little thin against Washington?
Curtis Rogers on Bold Take Monday said that DJ Dallas is going to run for over 100 yards on the ground and have two touchdowns. That, my friend, is going to be because he has an expanded role tonight because of those injuries that you just mentioned to Rashad Penny and Travis Homer. DJ Dallas, I believe, started to take over more of the responsibilities as the third down back. You saw that last week, and he did an excellent job catching the ball out of the backfield, running the football. So I do believe that DJ Dallas is going to have a more prominent role heading into this game as they, I wouldn't say 50-50 split between Alex Collins and DJ Dallas, but I would expect a decent workload for DJ Dallas in this game.
100 yards, two touchdowns. You heard it here first.
man.
Fourth down. Jake, what are the three keys to victory tonight for the Seahawks?
Three keys to victory. Number one, unleash this passing offense. You're going into this game with a opportunity with this Washington defense where they are 28th in pass defense, 28th in points given up overall defensively, and you don't have your two best pass rushers in Montez Sweat and Chase Young in this game. So lean into what you've actually done well with this quarterback and Russell Wilson, which is pass on first and second down, which is, and not every time, don't misconstrue what I'm saying, but be aggressive on first and second down with your pass attempts. The other thing is play action pass. In those two categories I just mentioned, Russell Wilson is at the top of the league in those two categories. Lean into that more. Let that be more of your identity. You've got seven games left. You haven't found much success doing a whole lot of anything. So put this on the shoulder of your quarterback. That's why you're paying him the money. And this is a great opportunity to get that ball rolling, to get things started. They've got so that would be number one. Number two, control the line of scrimmage. Gibson, thank you. Their running back is an excellent running back and does a really good job. The Washington offensive line is a very good group, and so this is going to be a tough job for the Seahawks defensive line and rush defense to keep them under control. On the flip side, the Washington defense, although they're out their two best dynamic edge rushers, they've got two really, really good defensive tackles. So you have to control the line of scrimmage on both sides. And the third and last thing is you've got to generate pressure on Taylor Heinicke. Quarterback Taylor Heinicke has really started to play well over the last 2 weeks. He is a very streaky quarterback, Curtis. And if you can generate pressure, if you can generate consistent pressure, you can get him to play like a backup quarterback in this league, play very average, force him into bad throws and turnovers, and that is the three things that the Seattle Seahawks have to do if they're going to win tonight.
There it is, four down territory.
Four down territory. All right, I think I recovered from that
now,
earlier.
Jake, I you're feeling good right now, but I might have to beat you in some trivia coming up.
If Stacey's not here, but we still got trivia, that is coming up next. Who knows most about the Washington football team? Well, Curtis and I are facing off in our trivia challenge. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacey Ross.
Football team, football team, football team, football team, football team, football team, football team.
As you can see, there are 11 players on each team. Some of the key positions are quarterback, running back, receiver, and offensive line. On the defense, there is the defensive line, safeties, cornerbacks.
My very favorite intro. That's the best one I'll ever
this
make.
Is your best
it's
work.
It's a football team.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
That's right.
All you need to know.
It's incredible. Also, how did you say that fast?
Look.
I mean, that's talent.
An artist never reveals his secret.
I asked him to. I said, how many takes?
Four.
Four. Okay.
Four takes?
Four takes.
Wow, that's impressive.
And the thing is, the computer software that we use here, I could choose to speed it up and just say it normally as I do. No. I get into it.
Yeah.
I have to say it with that kind of emotion.
An artist doesn't skew his craft either.
That's
Curtis
is a real method actor.
Yeah, I'm the Jared Leto of 710.
That's
all
right.
Know this.
That's right. All right, can we get to our game show?
We have a game show to play. I was given explicit instructions, no cheating, no trying to...
We would never.
Yeah.
I mean,
kind of skip the process. All right, so wait, who goes first, though? That's why I wasn't given instructions about that.
I will go first.
Jake's going first.
Right. Yes, I'm going to go first.
All right, here we go. Let's go. These questions are from Stacey Ross, too. So any issue, send them her way.
Oh, gladly.
Gladly.
All right. Number one. This is for you, Jake. Before signing with the Washington football team, Taylor Heinicke was a reserve quarterback for which league? The CFL, the AAF, or the XFL?
Ooh, wow. This is a really good question.
That is a good question.
Okay. I thought it was going to be the college, and I was going to be like, oh, done.
Everyone
I got
that.
It. Okay. Taylor Heinicke played for, I'm going to say the AAF. Oh!
Wow.
No. What was it?
Curtis going to steal? I mean, you won't get a point. But
we don't have a steal.
Just to show that you know and
is
you're smart.
Is it the CFL?
Oh, wow. No.
Oh, it's the XFL?
Yeah. Double wrong on that.
Wow. Okay.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
All right. We'll move on here. Okay. Number two.
Who did you play for in the XFL?
It was like the Battle Hawks or something. I think.
Of course.
Yeah, one of those. Yeah.
Man, I miss the Battle Hawks.
Yeah, we need more in here for that one. All right. In the all-time series between the Seahawks and Washington football team, does Seattle lead, does WFT lead, or is the series tied?
I'm going to say the Seahawks lead. Wow.
We're
terrible.
Guys, I'm sitting here
Thanksgiving hangover.
I'm sitting here on the right buzzer getting ready to hit it. And
is
I
it
just
tied?
Have to, I have to completely. It's yeah, WFT we both leads.
Washington leads?
Yeah.
I mean, which is nuts because I feel like the Seahawks have had a lot of recent success against Washington.
Correct.
Apparently, that was the complete opposite before, I would say, about 2005.
Wow. Right. Okay. All right. Here we go.
All right. You're off to a great start.
We don't count those first two questions.
Number three. True or false, J.D. McKissic scored a rushing touchdown for the Seahawks in 2017.
Ooh. No. That is incorrect.
Yeah, he was the only running back that year to score. He was the only running back.
Oh,
I knew that
I'm
one.
Dying here.
I knew that one. He was the only running back to score a touchdown for the Seahawks in 2017.
See, here I was thinking so confidently. That was the year that the running backs did terribly. Russell Wilson was the only one that had any rushing touchdowns.
He was the only other one.
Gosh.
This is kind of embarrassing.
All right, here we go. Okay, we're going to get a point here.
All right, Curtis. This player is leading WFT with 6 sacks. Who is it?
Is it Montez Sweat?
Ooh, wow, we got the extra air horn.
That was wrong.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
No.
It was so wrong, I had to go to the air horn.
Jeez. This is our worst.
Jonathan Allen.
It's incredible.
You've hit wrong too many times. I wanted to skip on.
Yeah, we're 0-4.
So it's Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Yikes. Here we go.
You're still
first one to one.
Okay. Washington's defense.
Hey, Robbie Ray signed with
good
the Bears.
Job.
That's right, I did.
WFT, they've fallen from near the top of the league last season to 24th overall in yardage allowed, but they still rank 6th in one category. Is it against the run or against the pass?
It's against the run. Yes! There we go. I'm on the board, baby.
That might do it at this rate. 1-0? Is that going to do it?
1-0, it might.
All right, because this is question 6. Curtis, running out of chances here. Hey,
Let's
no looking up.
Let's
what are you doing on that computer over there? Okay.
Let's go.
Number 6 here. Curtis, true or false?
Very convincing.
True or false?
Seattle's defense has more sacks than Washington right now.
Oh, I'm going to say false.
Ooh. Yeah, you were right. I was just defaulting on wrong.
Oh, wow. I was going to say, are you kidding me?
Yeah, I told you.
There's no way.
I knew I was kidding.
It's closer than you think, though. WFT with 20, Seahawks have 17.
Really?
Yeah.
That is surprising. That really shocks me.
All right.
They've got a great group of pass rushers.
You guys have come on strong. Here we go, number 7. Our own Dave Wyman saw Ron Rivera on a football field during their college careers. Where did Rivera play college football?
Oh, Cal Bears. Here we go. Cal Bears.
Sorry. That's right.
Wait, yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Blame user error here.
I think Rivera was on the opposite end of the play.
Wyman was
on the kick coverage team.
He made the tackle, he insists.
Sure, Wyman.
So we have a 2-1 lead?
Yeah. 2-1 with...
2-1 lead.
Okay.
This is the last
question. This is the
question.
Last question.
Is there a tiebreaker?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we don't have to worry about that yet, though.
Okay.
If I get this, then we go to the tiebreaker.
All right. WFT has won 3 Super Bowls. Name 2 of the 3 teams that they beat.
They beat the Denver Broncos in one of them, and they beat the Buffalo Bills in another.
Bonus third.
Was it the Dolphins?
It was the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. We are in our tiebreaker.
Let's
impressive.
Go.
Okay.
Hey, isn't this exciting?
So, first person to lose here, you're going to play which Washingtonian? Is this famous person from Washington, D.C.?
Or the state of Washington? I like this.
So the first person, Stacy says the first person who's wrong loses.
Okay,
wow, so I guess if Jake misses here.
Hold on. Rephrase that real quick.
Okay. Is this famous person, I'm going to say a name.
Yes.
Is this famous person from D.C. or from Washington State?
Okay, I like it.
All right, so that's kind of unfair that Jake has to go first, and you're wrong, you lose, but all right. Quarterbacks thrive on pressure.
Yep, that's right.
Here
Let's
we go,
this.
Jake. Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, D.C.
I'm too slow. I'm sorry. Yes.
Yeah, here we go.
Build me intrigue here. Okay. Curtis. Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl.
Oh,
that is tough. That's really tough.
I mean, she played a long role here in Seattle on Grey's Anatomy. I mean,
look at him trying to skew it one way or another.
I am going to say.
Long time resident.
I don't think she's from Washington. I think she's from D.C.
Oh,
let's go.
Come on.
Let's go.
Okay. Bing Crosby. This is Jake's, right? Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby from Washington State.
Jason Gonzaga.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go.
Keep
let's
it
go.
Rolling. Keep it rolling here. What happens if we run out of time? We won't have to worry about that. Okay. Fred Couples.
Fred Couples. He's from Washington.
Freddie Couples. My dad's favorite golfer for a long time.
Kevin Durant.
From D.C.
I
wish I could say he's from Washington State.
Will we? I don't know. There are a lot of names on here, so we'll see.
Okay.
Bob Barker.
Bob Barker.
Ooh.
I believe is from Washington State. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I had to build the suspense here.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know how we're going to miss. I mean, no pressure or anything.
Okay.
Jake,
all right, here we go.
Here we go. Dave Chappelle.
The D.C.
These are getting too easy.
Come on.
These are just getting way too easy.
That's super easy.
All right. Do we need another tiebreaker here?
How many names are left?
There's like 15 left.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Okay, let's go rapid fire here.
Hillary Swank.
Washington, D.C.
Oh.
What?
No!
Yes! Yes! Really? She's from Washington State?
Wow.
Wow, okay.
I built it all up like we were going to go all night.
Who knew?
Wow.
Okay.
Jake
well,
wins, but there's more free agency news
coming back. We will tell everybody at the break. So hang in there with us. We will tell you that and much more. Text us right now to the show 206-421-3776 206-421-3776 for our next segment. What I need to know. We will be answering your questions. That's coming up next.
You're listening to Jake and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Jake Heaps and Stacy Rost.
All right, what I need to know brought to you by Allred Heating, Cooling, and Electric. All right. Well, we did tell you that we had some breaking news for you. Don't want to tease you too much and not give it to you right out of the break, but the Rangers and Corey Seager have agreed to a 10-year, $325 million contract per Jeff Passan.
That's it? Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I mean, just between Marcus Semien and Corey Seager, they're spending over $500 million.
Boy. I mean...
What do you make of that?
Look, good for the Rangers ownership in spending that kind of dough. I think baseball is better off when teams are spending that kind of money. Do I think they have surpassed the Mariners or the Angels in the AL West hierarchy just yet? No, they don't have any pitching. They have zero pitching whatsoever. I mean, they did add Jonathan Gray, former Rocky starter.
Right.
But I do not see them having the pitching to hang in the American League. And as we know, starting pitching is the most valuable currency in baseball. They don't have that right now. Now, there's still more offseason to get to here, and
correct.
There's 13 minutes to go before things kind of start to really slow down on the free agent market before the lockout in a couple of days. But I don't think the Rangers have surpassed the Mariners quite yet, but they are doing their darndest to be at least mentioned among the better teams in the American League. West.
Yeah. I mean, they're being extremely aggressive. Hats off to them. But I mean, like you said, there are so many holes that they have to fill. And quite honestly, the other move that I fully expect them to make is to sign Kyle Seager to the Rangers as well, so he could play next to Corey Seager. So you talk about an infield. I mean, defensively, that's a pretty darn good infield. And offensively, that'd be a big jump from where they were a year ago. But They've got a lot to round that thing out, and it just goes to show that, look, the Mariners, the moves that they made, I mean, obviously with Robbie Ray and Adam Frazier, that's great, but they're going to have to keep going. They're going to have to keep adding with impact to give themselves the best chance to really compete in their own division and for them to try and get to the playoffs. So I think it's just an added reminder for Jerry Dipoto and everybody else that the competition is right there within your own division. You're gonna have to keep up.
I hope this means less at bats for Mariner killer Jonah Heim and also other Mariner killer Cole Calhoun.
Right.
They're both on the Rangers now.
It's unbelievable.
That can't be good.
That can't be right. All right, let's get to some of these questions in what I need to know. Is there what I need to know from the 206, is there a better eating holiday than Thanksgiving?
Oh no, not even close. Not even close.
No, I would agree that it I don't know if not even close, though. I mean, Christmas Eve?
Christmas
I don't know.
Is a good one. But
I don't know
we're
going to
get people texting like, oh, turkey's not that good. That's okay. There are
right.
dozens of other things you can eat on Thanksgiving that still make it the best eating
right.
holiday.
I think people are too hung up on the turkey. The turkey is, it is like the mascot of Thanksgiving, but it isn't what makes up the team, right?
It is
everything else about it's Thanksgiving deep. That brings it all together, right? That makes it what Thanksgiving really is and how great of a meal it is. So I think people are always put way too much stock in Thanksgiving. And anyways, it doesn't matter. Just throw some gravy on it. The gravy makes the turkey anyways, okay? But I would say that Christmas Eve, Christmas, there's some good meals. There's some good meals on Christmas Eve and Christmas, but I would agree there. Okay, let's look here.
Somebody says Halloween. I mean, if candy's your vibe, yeah. But
sure.
Like, what else do you have on Halloween? Maybe you order a pizza? That's not amazing.
That's true. Okay, what would you rather have? Okay, what would you rather have? This is from the 253. Sign Bryant and Javi Baez or sign Bryant and trade for Matt Chapman from the A's?
I think if you sign Bryant and Baez, that allows you a lot more positional flexibility. Because Matt Chapman is only a third baseman. He doesn't play anywhere else, and why would you put him anywhere else? He's maybe the best fielding third baseman in baseball, certainly the best in the American League. I think Nolan Arenado is the other exception to that. Bryant and Baez, I think, give you the most positional flexibility, with both of them having the ability to play third base. You've got Bryant who can play the outfield. Baez can play shortstop and second base in addition to third. I think... Look, Chapman's going to be cheaper than Baez, but you're going to have to give up some prospects to get him. If you don't want to give up prospects, I think the route you go is either Baez / Story and Chris Bryant.
Okay. All right. I would agree with that. I mean, I think that when you got the difference between Matt Chapman and Javi Baez, I think Baez is a more dynamic hitter. Obviously, Chapman is a good hitter who is, I wouldn't say you could bank on him from being a 30 home run guy, but he's got the power, he's got the ability, but he's the best defensive third baseman, and that would add somebody that you know that you could go into every day, have him be your third baseman throughout the entire year. So the other part is you're probably going to have to pay Javi Baez a lot more compared to what you would have to with Matt Chapman, but he's also not going to come cheap in the trade market either. So I think there's pros and cons. Either way, I think you're really improving your team and putting yourself in the best position. Okay, let's go to this. What I need to know from the 360. Are the Seahawks going to win tonight?
You better hope so, because if not, it is going to be an early start on off-season talk around here.
Boy, would it ever. I mean, that's the thing that I would love to keep delaying this conversation, seeing this team in these last seven games, get on a hot streak, see this offense really spark and come to life, see Russell Wilson play well, see this offense play well, and then who knows? Who knows what could happen? Maybe the way that this thing ends makes everybody feel better and optimistic about staying together for the future, but I think that what this year, it's exposed a lot of issues that have been going on within this organization over the past, 3-4 years, and now it's just starting to formulate in front of everybody's eyes. But Curtis, I would be highly disappointed if they lose this game. I think this is the right opportunity for them to get going offensively, defensively, regroup after a really tough outing against the Arizona Cardinals. thing I want to see, though, be the aggressors. Go out and make a statement. Go out and you know, make a statement from the very jump, and don't go out there trying to survive playing rope-a-dope, right? That's the big thing that I want to see, Curtis.
Make it happen. Make it happen, Seahawks, because you're not going to get many better opportunities than what you got tonight.
Yes, and not to mention, the Washington football team has had their struggles on Monday Night Football. So everything is pointed upward for the Seattle Seahawks. All right, I am Jake Heaps. Next to me has been Curtis Rogers. Mike Lefko on the board. Thank you guys for hanging out. This has been a fun Monday. We can't wait to talk to you guys tomorrow.